This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
If you had to choose between physical education and state funding for your local school system, which would you choose? This is a decision many school districts across the country have to make on a yearly basis.
Our next guest doesn't think it has to be an either-or question. Dr. John Rady is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. In his book, Spark, The Revolutionary New Science of Exercise and the Brain, he argues that the same gym classes that typically get cut are the classes that could improve learning, test scores, and overall mental health among students. Our producer, Leah Landry, has the interview.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Rady.
Great to be with you.
So a typical physical education class in a K through 12 school probably isn't what it used to be. In some cases, that's for the better, but in many, it's not. What is the state of physical education in schools today?
Oh, it's on the decline. It's dropping. It has dropped. Recess is going away. Teachers are being harassed to teach to the test to get the test scores up. And with that, they eliminate some of the grade subjects, especially PE. So you're seeing less and less time devoted to it and less interest in it.
So you've written that your inspiration for looking into exercise as it affects the brain came from a physical education program at a high school in Naperville, Illinois. Could you tell us a bit about Naperville?
Sure. It wasn't just a high school. It was the whole student body there of 19,000 children. I came to be aware of that when there was a frontline piece about this school district back in 2003. And at that point, only 3% of their kids were overweight of 19,000 kids. And that was pretty remarkable, given that the national average was 33%. Along with that, 99% of their kids had taken the TIMSS test, or the International Science and Math test that every country takes every 3 years to rate us how we're doing. And this past year, 2 years ago, we took it, and the U.S. came in 18th and 19th in science and math, which is somewhat normal. Well, Naperville lobbied to take it as a country, competing with everybody, and they came in number one in the world in science and number six in math. That got me on an airplane to see what was going on because I was always interested in exercise and its effect on the brain. And we knew so much about how it affects mood and anxiety and stress, as well as how it can help prevent Alzheimer's disease. But I went there and I was amazed to see what the program was, where all the kids took PE every day for 45 minutes. Most of the time they were engaged in some activity to improve their level of fitness, and they focused on fitness first, which is not the way most programs go and have gone.
So how does exercise and physical fitness improve learning?
Well, it changes our brain chemistry, and then it changes the brain architecture. We have the chemistry change. Exercise increases the amount of cells that we use, and with that, we increase the neurotransmitters and other neurogrowth factors that help promote our brains to grow, and the way we learn anything is for our brains to grow. So it has an acute effect and a chronic effect, and making the chronic effect comes from being more fit, and when you're more fit, you have actually more brain cells that are available to you to take in information, as well as you're more primed and you've helped your brain be more healthy and able to deal with frustration and improve your attention system, which is really key and crucial.
In your book, Spark, I read that the teachers in the Naperville district were actually telling their students to take their hardest classes, potentially right after gym period. Are there lasting effects of that regular physical activity as far as the brain is concerned?
Yes. As I say, there's an immediate effect, and that's what we call a natural history finding, where the teachers and the counselors were telling the children to take their hardest class right after they get their brains active and their bodies active. And then there's a longer-term effect where it begins to change our brain, like anything else that we do on a regular basis, and it makes the brain much more receptive to learn and to understand and to remember.
You also talk about Susan in Spark. She's in early middle age, and she is using wine as a coping mechanism for an out-of-control renovation project at her house. You actually settle on telling her to jump rope every time she feels stress instead of drinking to control it. So while students likely don't have to deal with home renovation worries, they do have a lot of other stressors. How does exercise affect stress levels, and how is that possible when exercise itself is actually a form of physical stress on your body?
It is a physical stress, but it's a stress that ends. The stress that you have when you're chronically worried is toxic stress. It doesn't go away. And to have the stress of exercise intercede, what you do is you build up reservoirs of what I call an internal genitorial service to help deal with the effects of stress on our nerves and our brain cells, and helps us readjust so that eventually we create more mechanisms to help us deal with stress so that it takes a higher load of threats from the environment to get us into a stressful, anxious state.
Later in the show, we're actually going to explore a recent study that shows more kids are being diagnosed with attention deficit disorders. What impact does activity have on ADD and ADHD?
Yes, well, this is how it all started for me, because that's one of the areas that I've spent 30 years writing and lecturing about. And we always, in our three books on attention deficit disorder, we talk about how exercise is certainly one of the most important components of treatment for our ADD kids. And you're seeing articles come out all the time now about exercise and sport and playing that have an effect on attention and helping. What you do is you do the same thing as Ritalin or Adderall does when you exercise. You increase the levels of dopamine and norepinephrine. I say that a bout of exercise is like taking a little bit of Prozac and a little bit of Ritalin, because you do the same things.
It does seem that some progress is being made when it comes to at least our collective understanding that movement is important. You know, fitness trackers are part of a lot of people's lives, telling them to get up and move around every 20 minutes. But at the same time, as you said in the beginning, schools are still struggling with this. Even in Illinois, where Naperville District 203 is located, I read that last year phys ed rules were adjusted, making it easier to cut classes or excuse kids from phys ed. What do you see as the future of physical education in this country?
I think people have to recognize the power of what being fit does to the learner, does to the learner's brain, does to their ability to take in information, to sort through it, to store it, to bring it back, to manipulate it in their minds. And then perhaps the world would begin to change and appreciate that this is a tool to make the learner a better learner. Countries that are aware of this are making rapid strides in reintegrating exercise into the school day, whether it be in a PE class or even in each classroom. In Holland and in Finland, they have constantly stress that the need for more exercise, even within the classroom, taking a 5-minute brain break, or in Finland, a 15-minute exercise break after every class. And they, by the way, Finland is among the top 5 countries when they look at scores on various tests, rating how well the kids are doing, and Finland is always up there. And a lot of it, or some of it, can be attributed to this very large focus on having their kids exercise and be fit.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Rady.
Thanks for having me on.